is there. Amen. You may not be able to go over into the Holy Land and find it today, but it's still there in our hearts and in our minds, and we can always go back. We can always find assurance. We can always find peace and help and comfort there. Amen. I'm glad he's always waiting. Like the prodigal son's father, he's looking, anticipating, waiting for us to come home. Amen. Turn in your Bibles with us tonight into Philippians chapter number 4. Philippians chapter number 4. There's a sweet spirit in the church this morning. And I'm glad I was in the house of God this morning. And pray for the lady who raised her hand this morning about salvation. God knows the heart, God knows the need, and God knows how to get through. Amen. And he has a plan for everything that he does. Nothing happens by accident, and we're thankful for that. If you found Philippians chapter 4, I'm going to read one verse, verse number 4. The Apostle Paul says, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice." Our Father, we thank you for the privilege it's been ours to be in your house today. We thank you, Lord, for the service this morning, and God, how you just stirred our hearts and ministered to us and helped us, Lord, to maybe see something that we hadn't seen before that would remind us, God, of your faithfulness and your goodness to us. And now, Lord, we just pray, God, that as we come to another service and another time, that once again, Father, you would stir our hearts and inspire us through your word, Father, to be found, God, where you'd have us to be found doing those things, Lord, that are pleasing unto you, that we would rejoice, Father, in the journey. Rejoice, Father, with that peace that you give. Rejoice, Lord, with that joy unspeakable. Rejoice, Lord, with hope that we have and the confidence that we placed in you. Rejoice in everything, because we have victory through you and in you. In this world, you told us we'll have tribulations, but we can be of good cheer, for you've overcome the world. And Lord, that's our desire, that's our goal tonight, to be encouraged to find that joy in the journey. And the only way we can do that is through you and in you. In Jesus' name we pray. We say amen. The Apostle Paul writes, "Rejoice in the Lord always, and again, I say rejoice." What makes this verse, this epistle, so miraculous is that Paul was writing this from prison. Paul is writing to a church, a group of believers in Philippi, and he's telling them they've got something to be happy about. As he's in prison, and he's encouraging them to find joy in the journey, he tells them that the only way that they're going to find this joy, the only way they're going to be able to rejoice is if they do it in the Lord. Amen. If you do it in religion, religion's going to let you down. If you're rejoicing because you're a Baptist, you're rejoicing for the wrong reason. Amen. If you're rejoicing because you're a child of God, then you ought to be shouting the house down. Amen. If you're rejoicing because you've got wealth or you've got possessions in this world, you don't need to be rejoicing about that, because the Bible says that all these things are going to perish. They're all going to be burned up. They're all going to disappear one day. But praise God, we can rejoice because our names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. You see, the only thing that we have the joy in is what we have in Jesus. He says, "Rejoice in the Lord always." Not when things are going well, not when everything is just hunky-dory and fine. He said, but rejoice in the Lord always. In the bad times, rejoice in the Lord. In the good times, rejoice in the Lord. When you're persecuted, rejoice in the Lord. When you're an overcomer, and you've been able to overcome something something that maybe you've been struggling with, rejoice in the Lord. When you're going through the valley, rejoice in the Lord. When you're on the mountaintop and you can see the great vistas, rejoice in the Lord. He says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. When God's word repeats something twice, it means that we need to take note of it. Amen. We need to mark it down because it's something that's very important. And what seems to be missing in so many people's lives is the joy of salvation. Amen. People who are saved and know they're saved, and they walk around and they're some of the most miserable people that you can deal with. Well, why is it important that we rejoice? Because it's a testimony unto the grace. It's a testimony unto the mercies. It's a testimony unto the love and the goodness of God. He tells us to rejoice. That word rejoice means to feel joy or great delight. To feel joy or great delight in the Lord. Amen. It isn't about our circumstances. Our joy is in the Lord. Our delight is in the Lord. Our delight is what He's done for us. Praise God. He died on an old rugged cross so I don't have to go to a place called hell. Rejoice in the Lord. The Bible says over in 1 Peter chapter 1, verses 7 to 9, that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perishes, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen ye love, and whom though now ye see not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory, receiving the end of your faith, even the salvation of your souls. If you don't have anything else in this world to rejoice in, if they've got you in the deepest, darkest dungeon that they can find, and they've got you locked up, they've taken everything away from you, the one thing that they can't take is what Jesus has given you. Amen. And you can rejoice in your salvation. You say, well, Pastor, that's easy to say, but it's hard to do. Amen. He never said it was going to be easy, but He said it would be possible. Amen. The Apostle Paul lays out some things in the next few verses that I want to look at real quick to help you to learn to rejoice in the Lord. In verse number 5, he says, let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. To live moderately. He says, let your moderation be known. That word moderation means avoiding extremes of behavior or expression. It means to be temperate. It means to be even-keeled. It means to be someone who is the same today as they are tomorrow. Somebody who faces trials and who faces tribulations and troubles, and they're still the same as they were when everything was going good and life was easy. Amen? We don't change because of our circumstances. We haven't changed because of the situation. We haven't changed because of anything. And our testimony is that we're satisfied in Christ. We bear the testimony that all things in our life because of Christ, and He has a purpose for all things in our life, and we can attest to the fact that, hey, we've been through some trials and we've been through some troubles and we're going through some problems, but He's always been good to us. The Apostle Paul said over in 1 Corinthians chapter 6 verse 12, all things are lawful unto me, but all things are not expedient. All things are lawful for me, but I will not be brought under the power of any. Paul said, look, I'm not going to let the things of this world, the things that I'm entitled to, the things I'm privileged to do, the things I can do, have power over me whatsoever. He lived moderately. The Apostle Paul lived without most of the luxuries that most people enjoy. But his testimony was that the Lord was sufficient for him for all things. And you know, when we get to the place where we can find that the Lord is sufficient for us, you're not hearing me. When we can get to the place where we find that the Lord is sufficient for us, some of us haven't got to that place yet. Amen? So some of us are trying to work out our own things and to make things happen on our own accord, and we haven't looked to our sufficiency being that the Lord supplies, and we want to do it our way, we want to do it in our time, we want to do it according to our plan, and we're letting the sufficiency of Christ just wait in the background. We haven't got there yet, but when we get to the place where we find him as our sufficiency, it begins to come forth in our life, and our life changes. We don't measure our success by the things we have. We measure our success by our relationship in Jesus Christ. We don't measure our success by the people that we surround ourselves with. We measure our success by the friend that's closer than a brother whose name is Jesus. Amen. We don't measure our success by our bank account, but we measure our success by the treasure that we have in Jesus Christ. And if he told us to empty our bank account, we would empty our bank account. Let me tell you a little story. We've had Shaman and RJ with us for a few days now, and we just get to spend a lot of time with them, and we get to spend time with them on a more personal level than you do, but they would love to spend time with you if you'd spend time with them. But in the Philippines, things that we have here are extreme luxuries. Something as simple, ladies, as having an oven in your house to cook in. She doesn't have an oven. They've got a two-burner stove that she cooks on. And she don't cook just for her and RJ. She cooks sometimes for hundreds of people. And she had saved and had saved and they had saved so that she could buy a stove with an oven. Now, he says, we're talking about a stove that's going to be about this wide and about this long and about this high, but it will have an oven. And she had saved to be able to buy that stove. But when they bought the property at their church and they were trying to get their church building going and established, they needed some money. Shaman gave up her money for her stove because she esteemed the riches of Christ more than the riches of this world. The things of Christ more important than her own personal comfort and her own personal ease and the things that she does. She's a great cook. I can imagine what she could do if she had an oven. Amen. But they're not seeking for, well, they're not seeking for great things. They're seeking the cause of Christ. They're seeking to see their church finished and to build their church. And if it means that they sacrifice their own personal things and their own personal luxuries to do that, that becomes much more important. You see, if we want to find joy in our life, joy in the journey, it comes by learning moderation in Christ. He is sufficient in our lives for all things. And letting him be our sufficiency. Amen? That's when the world looks at you and says, look at them. They don't have anything, but they're the happiest people I know. Look at them. They're going through this trial and this problem and this trouble. But they still got the joy in their heart. Where does that come from? It comes from the Lord. Rejoice in the Lord. Always. It's a testimony to a lost and a dying world. But then he says in verse 6, we need to live confidently. Be careful for nothing. But in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. There's nothing like having confidence in your life and having that peace that the confidence brings in your life to help you as you journey through. That word careful, as it's recorded here, be careful for nothing, means not to be anxious and not to be thought on, not to worry about. Be careful for nothing. Amen. You know how you can be careful for nothing? He tells you right there in that verse. But in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. Amen. That there's a way to get the worry out of your life. There's a way to have confidence in your heart and in your life that helps you as you struggle through this life, to go through this life with joy and not to let the worries and cares of this life weigh you down and burden you down to the place that it robs you of the joy. And it will do that. Man, you get a loved one that's got a long-term illness and you're struggling and dealing with that, you can let it tear you down or you can let it build you up. You can get discouraged or you can get encouraged. Amen? You don't believe that? Ask somebody that's been there. Ask somebody that's tried to do it in their own strength and of their own accord, and ask somebody that's done it and has trusted the Lord to bring them through. It makes a big difference. It changes the attitude. It changes the way that you see things. Yes, you can go through this life and have joy in your life when you don't have the burden of worry weighing you down. The burden of cares keeping you under its thumb. But he says the way that we get past this worry, this anxiousness, is number one, by prayer. If you had to define prayer, how do you define it? Well, we're talking to the Lord. Well, it's more than just talking to the Lord. Anybody ever see Fiddler on the Roof? How many's never seen Fiddler on the Roof? You ought to get it. It's a musical. But you ought to get it and watch it sometime. Because it's a great story. But the main character in the story, he's always talking to God. He's always looking. He's always talking to God. And a lot of times we talk to God, but we don't pray to God. Prayer is defined as a plea or an entreaty. When we're praying, we're asking for God's direction. We're asking for God to do something. And when we ask for God to do something, and we ask for God to take our cares, we ask for God to take our burdens, we ask for God to take our problems away from us, and we just trust it to God, it can take the worry away. Amen. When we believe that He can. When we go beyond talking to God and praying to God. But there's a key to prayer that needs to be looked at in the next word. By prayer and supplication, a humble entreaty, to ask humbly, a supplication. You know, some go around and tell us that God never intends for anybody to be sick and everybody should be rich and nobody will have problems. And if you're living right and you're where you need to be with God and you give me all your money, I'm going to pray for you and God's going to bless you because you give me all your money. Amen. I've shared with you twice today already. Go to Haven Online and listen to Costi Hinn as he shares the health, wealth, and prosperity gospel story that he lived. They tell you, well, God said he's going to do this, and you can tell God to do this, and he's going to do it. That's not a supplication. That's not a prayer. Who are we to tell God, you said you're going to do this, and you have to do it? I've heard them say it right on TV. God said he's going to do this, and if you ask him, he has to do it, or he'll be a liar. God's not a liar when you twist and manipulate his word. Matter of fact, the Bible says God's promises to us can be trusted and believed by two immutable things, and that God cannot lie. Amen. If anybody's a liar, it's the ones that telling you that you can do these things. But by prayer and supplication, by earnestly, humbly, making your plea and entreaty unto God, you can find he takes these cares, these burdens, these trials away. But he also tells us as we're praying, we need to do it with thanksgiving. Let me ask you something. How many times are you thankful when you're in a bad situation? I get frustrated real easy sometimes. I was changing bathroom faucets yesterday in our bathroom. One went bad and there's a match set and you can't find the other one, so you got to change two of them. I went to the store to buy the stinking things. They weren't where they supposed to be, and then as we were getting ready to leave, there's the bin number right there, and the price was right, and I went over and grabbed two of them and walked out and come to the leaders' meeting Friday night, went home yesterday, was going to change them, open them up, and they're the wrong ones. Run back down to the store, exchange them, get the right, the guy finally finds the right ones. Go back to the house and get ready to install them. And as I open the box, and I'm getting ready to do it, down the bottom of the box, there's this little yellow tag inside the box that says, "Do not use plumber's putty." Guess what I had? It says, "Use silicone or latex, but do not use plumber's putty." I'm doing plumbing. What would you expect me to buy? Amen. So I get back in the car. I run all the way back to Northeast to Lowe's. I take back the plumber's putty. I go get a tube that clearly is marked on the outside, clear bath and kitchen silicone. I go home, I open the silicone, I said, "I'm going to get this sucker done now, and it's going to be over here in just a few minutes," and I squeeze that tube and get ready to spread the stuff out, and guess what? It's white. It says right on the tube that it's clear. Now, if I would have prayed right about then, it would have been hard for me to be praying with thanksgiving. But sometimes we let our circumstances keep us away from the blessings that God would bestow upon us if we learn not to let these cares get us down and to pray and to plead with God with thanksgiving in our heart. Anybody else guilty of that? Amen. I don't know what purpose he had for me running up and down the road that many times. I don't know what purpose he had for me not getting this job. Man, I got up yesterday morning, went and got feed and unloaded feed. And man, Bryson, you got lucky. Because I was going to get twice as much as I did. I only got 1,000 pounds. I was going to get 2,000. I come home, unloaded all that stuff. I was wore out, so I'm going to go ahead and just get this thing done, get it knocked out. You know what time I got done? About 4:30 yesterday afternoon. Because everything that could go wrong went wrong. But you know what? God had a purpose for it. I don't know what the purpose was, but I needed to get done what I got done. Amen? And it might have been because RJ needed a guitar strap because I told her, as soon as I get this thing done, we're going to go up to Eastern Marine. I'm going to get a part that I need for my tractor. And then I thought maybe we'll sneak on over to Harbor Freight, and we might have went shopping and might have went here and might have went there. And RJ wouldn't have been able to have a guitar strap to be able to hold his guitar up while he played. I don't know. God had a purpose for it. But I couldn't find anything to be thankful for in it, to be honest with you. Amen. But the Bible says by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, amen, let your requests be known unto God. Why do we deal with so many cares and trials and troubles in our life? Would it be because maybe we pray, but we don't pray the right way? Maybe it could be we pray, but we don't pray with the right spirit. Amen? By prayer and supplication, with thanksgiving, let your requests be known unto God. You want joy in your life? You want to see these cares of life lifted from you? Be careful for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication. Amen? Do it God's way. Try God's plan. I tell you what, if you try God's plan, you'll quit being so miserable. Amen. Amen. If you learn to try God's plan, you'll find a little joy in your life. Amen. If you try God's plan, you'll find that things that you could never understand the reason for just seem to be as evident and as crystal clear as could be because you did it God's way. You know God had a purpose. God has a plan. Living moderately, living confidently, living peaceably. Look at verse number 7. And the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and mind through Christ Jesus. Where's our joy at? In the Lord. If we got our joy in the Lord and our moderation is in the Lord and our prayers are to the Lord, where's our peace going to be? In the Lord. We don't have peace because we're Baptists. We have peace because of Jesus. Amen. We don't have peace because we got a lot of money in the bank. We have peace because we know the one that controls the money. You know, in 1929, everybody thought they had everything in the bank, and overnight they had nothing. Amen. That bunch down there in Washington could decide tomorrow that they're going to make all the money that everybody has null and void so they can track it all and they can keep control and they can figure out what everybody's got and everything that you're banking on. Where would your peace be then? Amen. He said, in the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. My peace has to be anchored in Him. My peace has to be because of Him. My peace has to be because of what He's doing and what He wants to do and how He wants to do it. My peace has to be anchored in Jesus or I don't have peace. When a devil comes your way and brings problems to your door, don't try to deal with it on your own. I don't know about you, but I don't know near as much of the Bible as the devil knows. Amen? I don't know about you, but I haven't seen near as much of what God can do as what the devil has seen. Amen? And when the devil comes to your house, the devil comes your way knocking at your door, and you think that you're going to withstand him and you're going to withstand the devil, the Bible never says we can. He says to take the shield of faith that we can withstand the fiery darts. He's going to throw stuff our way. But when it comes to dealing with the devil, I need to send Jesus. Amen. Amen. My peace isn't through my ability to stand. It's through what Jesus has already stood to do. The power I have is nothing compared to the power that Jesus has. If I'm going to find peace, If I'm going to find something to hide behind, if I'm going to find something to find strength in, I need to look at something that's far greater than I am. His name is Jesus. Amen. You want joy in your life, you're going to have peace. You want peace in your life, you're going to have Jesus. Amen. And if you got Jesus where he belongs and where he needs to be, you'll find peace in your life. And then look at what he says in verses 8 and 9. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Think on these things. Living contemplatively. Think means to consider, to ponder, to meditate, to reason. Contemplate on these things. What things are they? The things of the Word of God. The things that ring true in our hearts and our lives as God's people. The psalmist in 119, 162 says, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. Man, when we meditate on God's word, we have a great treasure before us. When we think on God's word and we consider God's word and we study God's word and we look to God's word and we depend on God's word, it does great things in our hearts, in our lives. It changes us. It's just like listening to gospel music. You know, you can listen to country music and, you know, I've listened to the stations. I've been on my tractor mowing, my mower mowing, and there was times that the two gospel stations in the area would fade out, and the only thing that you could get was the country and western stations and or the rock and roll stations or the rap stations and all this stuff. And I would try mowing and listen to that, and I'd get frustrated. But praise God, I'm glad something happened. I don't know if it's my headphones or what it is, but I can get on there now, and I can get the WOEL, and I can get the WDSD out of Lancaster. I can get some good preaching. I can get some good teaching, and I can mow and I can listen to these things. I like to listen to Brother Grooms on Thursday afternoon as they replay the Sunday morning service and hear him preach. I love to listen to some of the teaching that comes on WDSD and WOEL. I love to listen to the songs that are sung about the old ship of Zion that can't sink, about the grace of God that brings the peace God into our hearts and our lives. I'm glad for all the things that I can hear, and it changes my attitude. When I listen to gospel music going up and down the road, it uplifts me. You try it for a while and see if it don't make a difference in your life. What we surround ourselves with, what we fill our hearts and minds with, has a great effect upon us. What goes in is what comes out. Amen? You put junk in, you're going to get junk out. You put Christ in, what's going to come out? Christ. He said to think on these things, to meditate, to ponder, to consider. Look at what he says. Whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things. Where does that all come from? Where are you going to find that anywhere apart from the Word of God? You want truth? Where do you go? Word of God. You want honesty? Where do you go? I mean, God's brutally honest. Bible says there, I think Joshua 13, Joshua was old and stricken in years, and God said to Joshua, Joshua, you're old and stricken in years. I love that passage of Scripture. Amen. Because when I look in the mirror and I try to look young, I'm just reminded I'm old and stricken in years. Get over myself. Amen. I am what I am. Amen. I am who I am. I like what the apostle said. I am what I am by the grace of God. Amen. But you don't find all these things on the news channels. You don't find it on Facebook. You don't find it on the radio and secular stations. You find all these things. Truth, honesty, justice, purity, lovely and desirable things, good report, reputable things, virtue, valor, excellence, praise, and commendable. Things worthy to be talked about and uplifted and praised. Apart from God's word. You want joy in your life? Find out what God's word says when you're in the midst of your trouble, when he says, my grace is sufficient. Find out when you've trusted in the grace of God and you thought you've had all that you can have, and the word says he gives more grace. Find out that there's never been an obstacle that God's people have went through that they needed God to deliver them from, that he failed them in any way. You say, but Pastor, they killed James. Pastor, men of God died. Yes, they did. But they didn't die without hope. They didn't die without peace in their hearts and lives. They didn't die on their own. Friend, we're all going to die. No one can live forever. And we need to face that reality and be prepared for that reality. But we can prepare for that reality with joy in our hearts. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. It's through God's word. It's through God's peace. It's through God's confidence and God's assurance. It's through God's provision and satisfaction in our life that we're able to obtain all things and find peace in the midst of all things. Rejoice in the Lord. Don't rejoice in circumstances or situations, and because then you're only going to do it when it's good. You know, joy abides from the inside. And joy is disconnected from circumstances. True joy. Happiness comes and goes in accordance with circumstances and surroundings. But true joy that the Lord gives us in our heart and our life abides irregardless of what's happening. That's why Paul and Silas sang in the prison. Amen. That's why Christ's disciples were able to rejoice when they had been beaten. They probably wasn't too happy about being beaten. But they still had joy in their hearts and lives because they were his. Because they belonged to the Lord. If you want joy for your journey, consider these things tonight that Paul said we need to find that joy. Living moderately, living confidently, living peaceably, and living contemplatively on the Lord, in the Lord, through the Lord, and by the Lord. We stand to our feet tonight, heads bowed, eyes closed. Our altar.